thankful for His faithfulness. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Colossians. Back in the wonderful epistle of Colossians, chapter 3, we'll be finishing up this evening. And hope you've had a great day. Even though it's cold on the outside, I hope it's warm on the inside and warm in your heart. And I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. I say it often. I guess I say it often because I believe it. Faithfulness to church is a vital part to your success in the Christian life. I believe that. Not just because of the practice of being faithful, but what is offered to you when you are faithful. You say, what's offered to me when I'm faithful to church? Well, one, you get to fellowship with God's people. Two, and these are not in any prioritized order, but two, you get to live and feel good about living in obedience to a command God gave you. And three, you get to hear the Word of God preached. And whether you like that or not, or I like that or not, bottom line is God is using the preached word, and He has divinely used the preached word to do some amazing things in the hearts and lives of people. It will strengthen you, and it will get you more rooted and grounded in the faith. And that comes in large part with being faithful. And so let me encourage you to be faithful to the house of God in 2014. How many were here Sunday? All right, go ahead and raise it up. How many here Sunday? All right, put it. How many here tonight? Hey, you're doing good. 2014's looking good for you, and hopefully you'll keep that going. Colossians chapter 3. We've been reading in chapter 3 about a relationship section of the truths that the Apostle Paul is giving to us under the full inspiration. I don't believe in a partial inspiration. I believe in a full inspiration of Scripture. And he is giving us the relational aspect of it. The relational aspect of what? Well, just by way of reminder, and I'll give you 10 seconds to remind you, the whole theme of the book is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That if Jesus is in you, you have hope. And if He's not, you don't. That's the theme of the book. And what hope we have when Jesus is in us. But in chapter 3, in this section, he talks about how that hope and that radical transformation that happens when Jesus intercepts your heart and your mind, what that ought to do to your relationships. He talks about the husband and wife. He talks about the employee, the employer. He talks about the dad and the mom, the parent and the child. And I believe ultimately he talks about the body of Christ and how God's transforming salvation power should affect our relationships one with another. Saved people should act like saved people in their relationships. How many agree with that? Then he begins to, after talking about servants and employers, masters, he talks about a deeper issue that doesn't just apply to relationships, but I do believe it applies to every aspect of your Christian life. And in verse 23, after he said, verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And then he uses a word, he says, and whatsoever. This is Paul's way of saying, and in everything else in your life. He's talked about husbands, wives, very specific. Parents, children, very specific. Servants, masters, very specific. And then he said, and then whatever else there is in your life, which would be everything else. Notice what he said. He said, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. The principle tonight and the title of the message is simply this: living for God with all your heart. Living for God with all your heart. If you'll allow me tonight, I want to do my best to expositionally explain the passage, which means I want to stay right here in the passage to explain what I believe God is trying to convey to His people. And then, if you'll allow me, I want to topically apply it by going to different portions of Scripture and showing you how these truths that I'm going to explain, Lord willing, flesh out in our life. But I hope that you understand tonight that if you're going to live for God, there's a certain way that you ought to live for God. I believe there's four categories to people that fill our churches today. Four categories of those that claim to be living the Christian life, and they are all associated with the heart. First of all, I believe there are those who claim to have some kind of faith or belief system. They may fill a pew, and yet we would categorize them in the hard heart category. How many have ever met someone with a hard heart? How many remember a time in your life where you had a hard heart? How many of that times right now? Don't raise your hand. Where you had a hard heart. The Bible in the Old Testament, it talks about being stiff-necked, and it was an analogy used of the oxen in those days when they would try to put some kind of harness or even some kind of bridle, or even for the horses in those, they would ride some kind of a saddle. And the mule or the horse or the oxen or whatever it was, they would stiffen their neck so that they would not be pliable for the one trying to harness them. And the Bible talked about how the children of Israel many times were stiff-necked to God, where God was trying to do something. He was trying to guide them. He was trying to direct them. He was many times trying to protect and provide, and yet they stiffened their neck. They harden their hearts. And I mean, a lot of people, and at times in my own life, have been guilty of having a hard heart. The second group of people, maybe not the hard-hearted, but the half-hearted. Man, I meet a lot of folks who, yeah, I love Jesus. And yeah, I go to church, and yeah, I give when I can, and yeah, I mean, I try to be a good person. That's where it always starts with people. Well, I'm not perfect, but I try to be a good person. Like, God's going to be like, okay, well, at least you tried. And they just go about their Christian life, and they're not necessarily hard-hearted, but they're just kind of half-hearted. I coach our basketball team, and that's one thing that we try to teach them. You know, we teach discipline, we teach desire, things we expect from them, not just on the ball court, but we expect it in their families, we expect it in the classroom, we expect respect, we expect effort, and we expect improvement. They'll tell you that if there's ever a moment in practice when they're not giving us all-out effort, we run. And we run till they give us all-out effort. Now, isn't it amazing how quick that coin can flip? Where they go from being just as half-hearted and lazy and soft as they can be to, we don't want to run sprints the rest of practice. Let's run hard. Let's give it everything. And I try to teach them on the court, don't take any plays off. But listen, the basketball court is such an isolated and in many ways insignificant event in comparison to living for God in the Christian life. And yet so many Christians, they just kind of live half-hearted. If I make it to church, I make it to church. If I read my Bible, I read my Bible. If I pray, I pray. You know, if I get to talk to somebody today about the Lord, I do. If I don't, oh well, we'll try again tomorrow. And it's just half-hearted. And then I meet those, well, there's just no heart. I mean, they might as well just be a wooden Indian for the glory of God. And that there's no energy, there's no passion, nothing excites them. You ever met somebody like that? Point at them. Don't do that. Just, you know, somebody could get saved and they don't care. And they're just what they're doing is they're just going through the motions. No heart. And then you got those that are all heart. And I don't find too many of those. And yet it's the kind of Christian that Colossians 3:23 is calling out for. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. That word heartily, interesting Greek word. It's actually translated in one word, heartily, but it's actually two Greek words. One is from out of, or from the inside of, from the depths of, and then it describes from the depths of, Thayer said, maybe from the depths of your breath, and not like your physical breath. We were coming to school this morning, and Micah said, "Daddy, I can see my breath." Most of the time when you can see your breath, you need to go brush your teeth. But it was because it was just so cold. He said, "I can see my breath." The breath, what does your breath represent? It represents the vital force that animates the body. He's saying from that thing that is within, that God said, whatsoever you do, you need to do it to God, but you need to do it from that very thing that animates your body. It also means the soul. The seat of the feelings, the desires, all of your affections, all of your soul, all of your heart. That thing, Thayer said, that makes you go. The inner man, the Bible is commanding us, make sure that whatever you do for God, you do it with all your heart. All your heart. Matthew Henry said, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, with diligence, not idly, not slothfully. Do it cheerfully," he said, "not discontented at the providence of God. Do it with all of your heart. Do it with all of your being. Do it with everything you have. The servant should serve the master with all he has." All he's got. And I wonder tonight, do you serve God with all of your heart? You understand this evening that my God refuses divided loyalty. He refuses it. Listen to me and hear me well. My God doesn't want your hard heart. My God doesn't want your half heart. My God doesn't want your no heart. My God wants all of your heart. You say, "Well, God, I think God will just take what we give." Well, you don't read the same Bible I read. In fact, if you go to Malachi chapter number 1, he said, "Listen, you bring that stuff that's lame and those things that are spotted and those things that are sick to me." He said, "Go try that with your governor. See if your governor lets you pay taxes with that stuff. You have to bring the best to him, and I am Jehovah God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and I deserve the best as well." All your heart. God is not satisfied with your half-hearted Christian living. He's not. You are not doing God a favor, nor am I doing God a favor when I live for him with only a portion of my heart. God wants it all. He wants all my heart. God wants us to apply our entire heart to our relationship with God. And so if you'll allow me topically to flesh this out, I want to give you five areas of your life where the Bible commands us to do these areas with all of our heart. Number one, I want you to turn and keep your Bibles handy. Turn to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Of course, a Psalm of David. The psalmist here prays for God's support. In this psalm, he prays with conviction to a God that he believes is merciful, to a God that he believes is good. I love this. He prays with conviction to a God who he believes is ready to forgive. He prays in this psalm with conviction to a God that he says that there is no God like that God. Do you believe that? He prayed with conviction. And yet in this psalm, I do believe he says something about my heart and he says something about your heart. In verse number 11, he said, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth." He said, "Unite my heart to fear thy name." And then notice verse 12. "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart." Now, would it have been sufficient enough for David to have said, "God, I'm going to worship you with my heart"? But he wanted because of emphasis sake. He wanted because of description's sake. And I believe he wanted so that we can learn this principle through and through the Scriptures. God requires all of our heart, number one, in our praise. In our praise. Can I ask you the question tonight? You don't have to answer aloud. In fact, I'd prefer you not to. I'd prefer you to answer these things in your heart, but do you praise God with all of your heart? I probably more than anybody on the property, I watch you when you sing because I have to. And when I watch you worship, and that's only one area of this, but when I watch you worship in song, I just can't believe, whether you can sing or not, I just can't believe that you're praising God with all of your heart when your brothers and sisters in Christ are lifting up some heavenly anthem to God, and you're just kind of sitting there like, you know, a mad social worker. I mean, you get my drift? Or when we pray together and we just say, "Lord, you're just so good and we thank you for everything." Okay. I don't know who posted it. Christy read it to me. I don't even know where LaManda posted it at. But she was posting something Emmeline had prayed. She's like, "Oh no, what did I post?" And she was just things that she was thanking the Lord for. And I think she thanked the Lord for something like the windows and the curtains. And she said an Apple TV. You know, just, you know what? I love listening to my kids thank the Lord for stuff. Because I believe that sometimes I think they thank the Lord so much more wholeheartedly than we do. I mean, they'll thank God, and it's big to them, but they'll thank God for, like, the little stuff. And we just say, because we've gotten so sophisticated in our religion, we just say, "Lord, you're just so good. We thank you for everything." Do you really praise God with all your heart? Do you really pour your heart into praising Him? I want a public response to this question. Do you think God is praiseworthy? So you believe God is worthy of praise, and you believe that with conviction, just like the psalmist did. He said, "Well, Lord, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore." Notice the next verse. "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." Now, ladies and gentlemen, if there was nothing else in the planet to praise God for, I believe we could we could lift up our hearts in a wholehearted way every day for that right there. Where, Lord, you're worthy of our praise every day because your mercy is toward me and you have delivered us from the lowest hell. I believe the Bible teaches, and we cannot stay here for long, but I believe the Bible teaches us that we must praise our God with all of our heart. When someone asks you how you're doing, I called a preacher friend today and I asked him how he was doing, and he told me. Kind of wish I hadn't asked him. I was just trying to make conversation. and he's a good friend, and I'm kind of speaking tongue in cheek. But you know what? No matter how bad things are going, when someone asks me how I'm doing, and if I'm like really honest with them and there's something going on, may I never stop the sentence or the thought without at least praising God for something. Because listen to me, even in the trials of life, he's still worthy of praise. And I want to be able to stand before God knowing that I didn't miss it because I was that cookie cutter mold free will Baptist, that I didn't miss it when it came to praise. We need to learn how to praise God. We need to learn to be the fulfillment of that verse, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you're redeemed, say so. If you've got something to praise God about, tell the people. Pour out your heart to God. You say, preacher, how do I do that? I didn't go to Bible college. That doesn't matter. Is there a book? Is there a pattern? There is. There's a book and a pattern. It's called the Bible. Specifically, the Psalms. If David ever left a legacy to the people of God for anything, he left this legacy: how to praise God with all your heart. With all of it. Number one, we must praise God with all our heart. Quickly turn to Jeremiah. Got a sword drill competition tonight. Jeremiah chapter 29. I believe, by the way, anything the Bible tells me that anyone did with all their heart as unto the Lord, I believe it's required of the body of Christ to do with all of our heart. And Psalm 86 tells us, and many other places in the Psalms, that we must praise the Lord with all of our heart. But secondly, I do believe we learn in the book of Jeremiah that God requires us to seek Him with all of our heart. To seek Him with all of our heart. Jeremiah 29, this chapter contains the substance of two letters that were sent by the prophet to those of God's people who were captive and still captive in Babylon. And he was writing these letters to give them some hope, to let them know that God had not forgotten them or forsaken them. And may I say this, it doesn't matter how spiritual you are, sometimes you need to hear that. God has not forgotten you and God has not forsaken you. And even though you may feel that you are in enemy lines and stuck in captivity, our God is still alive and well. But in verse 10, the Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you." God had made a prophecy. God had made a promise that He would deliver them. And He was going to do it in causing you to return to this place. Very sobering, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." Listen to me. Don't you let the devil convince you that God's a mean old God. Don't you let the devil convince you that God doesn't care about your needs. Don't you let the devil convince you that the Lord glories in the fact that you're out on an island by yourself, or you're struggling, and the devil's going to say, you know what, God did that to you. No, let me tell you what God's thoughts toward you are. The Bible says here in verse 11 that they are thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give an expected end. God's thoughts are love and peace and grace. Verse 12 says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And then notice a very familiar verse, verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I have a lot of meetings with frustrated Christians who come to me and they say, Well, I'm reading my Bible, and I'm praying, and I'm going to church, and I've quit this, and I've quit that, and they're a little miffed and aggravated, and they're like, you know what? And God hadn't done anything for me, or God hadn't gotten me out of my mess yet, or I've been reading, and I've been studying, and I've been doing those things you've been telling me, and I still can't hear God. And you can tell they're only doing it because I told them to do it. They're only going through the motions. And they're not even going through the motions well. But they checked it off and said, well, I read my Bible, so the preacher can't ask me, did you read your Bible? Yes, I read my Bible. The Bible doesn't say that when you seek God, you're going to find them. The Bible says when you seek God with all your heart, you're going to find them. And I believe that's required. You want an intimate relationship with God that thrives every single day? Every day wake up and you seek hard after Him with all of your heart. All of it. One of the drills we do in our basketball is at the end of practice, I tell them whoever wins the sprints down and back, they can shoot a free throw, and if they make it, we're done running. If they miss it, we keep running. And then, of course, there was one practice where we let, like, the three fastest, they kept going back and they kept missing. So I said, okay, next time I'm just looking for effort. Whoever I feel like's given the best effort. They might not have been the fastest runner, but they gave the best effort. You know what? When I seek after God, I ought to seek after God like that last sprint. Like I'm going after God. There's nothing going to stop me. Everything I've got. My heart's beating out of my chest. I'm about ready to pass out, but I'm going after God. That's what God requires. I believe, first of all, we must praise God with all of our heart. Secondly, we must seek God with all of our heart. Let me hurry. Thirdly, we must return to God with all of our heart. Joel chapter 2. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. If you get there, you're gone too far. Joel, right before Amos. Some of you are like, I didn't even know there was a Joel in the Bible. Joel chapter 2. In this particular passage, the prophet Joel is sounding the alarm for the dreadful calamities that have happened. He's given an exhortation to God's people to repent and to fast and to pray and to turn back so that they could avert God's divine judgment. And here we read in verse 11 of chapter 2 of the book of Joel, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. It means fear, it means something to be dreaded or feared. Who can abide it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart and rend your garments and turn. Literally the word means to return unto the Lord your God. for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. I'm sure there's not one person here that if they were truly, sincerely honest before the Lord, there hasn't been a time where you've lived your Christian life and in whatever fashion and whatever distance where you just kind of walked away from the Lord for a little while. We like to use a word, a churchy word, because it make us feel better. We backslid a little bit. Anybody here ever backslid? Anybody backslid now? Confess it. Confess it one to another. You backslid. You've gone away from the Lord. What I find is sometimes when people go away from the Lord, when they return to God kind of half-hearted. Where if God was like, doing things for God and serving God and working for God was like a pool, they want to come in on the steps. They don't want to jump in. Or they've gotten hurt. Let me just go back at my pace. Listen to me. You never return back to God at your pace. It's always with all your heart. To return back to God. You say, how do I know if I've returned back to God with all my heart? I think verse 12 tells us, when he says, turn ye with all of your heart, he says, with fasting and weeping and mourning, rend your heart and rend your garments and turn unto the Lord. I find people today that they get saved and it didn't stir them at all. It's just like, okay, that was the next thing on my list. No, listen, when you realize that you've sinned against a holy God, that ought to do something to you. Or when you realize that you're a Christian and you've disappointed God in an area of your life and you need to come back to God, you need to come back to God with fasting and weeping and mourning and rending your heart and rending your garments. Why? Because that's called repentance. That's true returning back to God. And God said, listen, if you're away from me and you're coming back, like the prodigal son didn't come back and say, Dad, I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to my room. No, the prodigal son came back and he was broken. I met with a guy this morning, sat across from me at a table, and he wept this morning. And he said, my heart had gotten hard toward God, and in the process, he's about lost his family. And he said, 2 weeks ago, God began to break me, and he just stood there, people everywhere, and he just cried. You know what? I believe that sorrow is one of those things that's one of the evidences of godly, biblical repentance. Sorrow. And if you've gone away from God, I don't know where you are right now. I know you're in church, but that don't mean anything. You've gone away from God? Listen, don't think you can just kind of casually come back and say, what up, God? I'm back. No, you come back to God and you fast. You come back to God and you weep and you mourn. You come back to God and you rend your heart and you rend your clothes. Why? Because you've made a mistake. You hurt God. And it ought to break you. Don't you come back to God half-hearted. You come back to God, the Bible says, with all your heart. Let me hurry. Number four. We know this one. We're to love God with all our heart. Quickly go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Several passages that I will read, but I'm only going to get you to turn here. This one you know. Verse 4, while you're turning of Deuteronomy 6, O hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And verse 5, we know this by heart. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your what? All your heart. Listen, just do a concordant study of how many times the Bible uses all your heart, all their heart, all my heart. Scores of times in the Scripture the Bible commands me to do these things with all of my heart. Now, do you think that's by accident? No. God wants you to love Him with all of your heart. We don't have time, but Matthew 22, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment of the law? You know what Jesus said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All your heart. For this is the first and great commandment. I want to ask you this question tonight, and I want you to answer it in your heart. do you love God with all of your heart? Not do you love God, because that was a question he asked Peter, do you love me? Well, Peter thought any old answer would do, and you hear me, any old answer will not do. Go over a few pages to Deuteronomy 13. This right here ought to sober every one of us up a little bit about our love for God and our love language to Him. Because we say, oh, I love the Lord. I love you, Lord. I mean, we just live that. We just say it. We'll tell people. And we do so many things that say we don't. But we can say it all we want to, but I want you to listen. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 3. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, church, hear me. You may say to me you love God with all your heart, and I might be fooled enough to believe it. But God knows the deal. Seven times to seven churches, Jesus Christ said, I know thy works. It was a piercing glance. It was a fiery gaze. It was a perfect perception of exactly who they were and exactly what they were doing. And you can stand here tonight, and you can sit here tonight, and you can tell me, and you can tell your Sunday school teacher, you can tell your spouse, you can tell your kids, you can tell your co-worker, you can tell everybody in the world, you can tell the President of the United States you love God. But you hear me and hear me well. If you don't love God with all your heart, God knows it. Isn't that sobering? That makes me sometimes not want to say I don't love God with all my heart. Because I know sometimes I hadn't proved that I love God with all my heart. That person's not here tonight, so I will say it Sunday. I had somebody come out, and they told me in the line, they said, I just hadn't been doing good and feeling good, and I've been a little bit down. I hadn't really talked to anybody about it. God just used a message this morning, and it's a person that's always very encouraging to me. And she put her arm around me. Don't get crazy. She's an older lady, and put her arm around me. She goes, I just want you to know, I can tell you love God. And when she said that, it made me think, you don't really even know me. Because I know sometimes I don't act like I love God. I don't want to be as loose with my tongue anymore just to say I love God. I do love God, but do I love Him all the time with all my heart? Hey, sometimes I think I do, and sometimes I don't think I do. But when I do, God knows it, and He will prove whether I love Him with all my heart. Finally, the Bible says we must praise Him with all of our heart. We must seek Him with all of our heart. We must return to God with all of our heart. We must love the Lord with all of our heart. But finally, we must serve God with all of our heart. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 13 says, And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commands, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart. Joshua 22, verse 5, the Bible says, But take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, talking about this passage, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all of His ways, and to keep His commandments, and to cleave unto Him, and to serve Him with all of your heart. 1 Samuel chapter number 12, verse 20 through 24, the Bible says, And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all of your heart. Just a few verses later, in verse 23, he said, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart." Is that an accident that over and over and over and over again in the Scriptures, the Bible tells me to praise God with all my heart, to seek God with all my heart, to return to God with all my heart, to love God with all my heart, and to serve God with all my heart? In January of 1956, Jim Elliot and four other missionaries gave their lives in Ecuador in the effort to reach the Aucca Indians, the Wadani tribe. This fierce group was known to attack any outsiders. They were vicious, dangerous, cannibalistic people. But the vision of reaching them with the gospel compelled these five young men to go get the gospel to them. Not long after they had set up camp near the Aucca village, they were attacked by their warriors. Refusing to defend their lives with force, they had made a pact together several days earlier that if they were attacked, they would not, with force, defend or rebuttal the attacks. And this is why Jim Elliot and those men said, "We are ready for heaven. They are not." Refusing to defend their lives with force, the missionaries were killed. The news flashed around the world, and the story of their courage and their sacrifice challenged many to take up similar missionary causes. Even today, one of Elliot's famous phrases and words that will live on forever: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." In a very real sense, when I look at men like Jim Elliot, I see men who gave their whole heart. He gave his whole life. He proved it not with words, but with great sacrifice. They left their wives. Several of them had kids. And then I take inventory of my own life and wonder, have I given all? God requires all. If Christ has all my heart, there's no room for anyone else or anything else to have any. When I praise Him with all, when I praise God with all, there's no room to praise myself because I praised Him with all. When I seek God with all, there's no room to seek myself because, or my ambitions or dreams, because I've sought God with all. When I return to God with all, there's no going back because I've returned to God with all my heart. When I love God with all, I don't divide my love like pieces of a pie. I don't divide my love like some cookout meal that we ration out to our family. You have this many fries, and you have this many fries, and you get this many nuggets, and God, you have this much love, and Christy, you have this much love, and kids, you have this much love, and church, you have this much love, and world, you have this much love. The Bible says that God gets it all. And when I serve Him, I am to serve God with all my heart. Now, what's the great motivation? Well, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 24, it says, "Knowing that the Lord, of the Lord, ye shall receive a reward." When I praise Him with all my heart, when I seek Him with all my heart, when I return to Him with all my heart, when I love Him with all my heart, when I serve Him with all my heart, God's going to reward me. I don't do it for the reward. I do it because of the obedience. But hey, that's a good deal. But those that don't. Verse 25 says, but he that doeth wrong. You say, well, I'm not in any deep sin. Listen, you are sinning against God when you don't do these things with all your heart. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done. I'm a member of Pleasant Acres Church. God's no respecter of persons. My last name is such and such. God don't care. Church, I just want to encourage you tonight. 2014 is laid before us. It's a highway of good opportunity. Things in the past are in the past. God has some amazing things before us. Let's not live one day this year. I don't think any of us could say that about any other year. But let's strive not to live one day this year where God got just a little bit of your heart. Let's give it all. Lord, I'm going to praise you with all my heart. I want to seek you with all my heart. I'm going to return. I'm going to turn back and I'm going to come to you with all of my heart. God, I'm going to love you with all my heart. And I will serve you with everything I've got with all my heart. I want you to bow your heads with me and just close your eyes and tonight for me, it's not a matter. I'm not taking for granted that everybody here is saved. I don't know that. But I'm also not going to take for granted that everybody who is saved is living for God and serving God with all their heart. I guess if I could state it in any way or put it in a question, I would simply just ask, do you have some more in the tank that you're just not giving God? Or are you convinced, because only God knows, that you're loving Him with all of it? You're serving Him with all of it. You're giving everything you can to God. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. But I also know that in 2014, I want to live for God with all my heart. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Just lift it up. Just tons of hands. This is what I want to ask. Would you just come commit that on this altar tonight? As we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here and you say, God, I want to give 2014 all my heart. I'm not going to keep anything back in the tank every single day. I'm going to love you with all my heart. I'm going to serve you with all my heart. I'm going to praise you with all my heart. You need to come. We just pray that you'll just take your word. Lord, so much more could be said, so many other areas where the Bible just commands us to really expend all of our energy and all of our effort, all of our heart. God, help us to be faithful to do that. Lord, we thank you tonight that you are merciful and you are gracious and patient with us. And Lord, I know I just thank you that for myself. But help me starting right now, God. Lord, identify those areas in my own life and show me those areas so that I can improve and better on it. And help me this year. God, help me tomorrow to give it all my heart, to hold nothing back. Listen, that's an easy prescription you can give somebody that said, listen, I mean, you're on fire for the Lord. Whether things are going good or not, man, you just seem to be committed and focused. What's your secret? All my heart. All my heart. I remember several years ago, I was having, it's been probably about three years ago now, I was having a lot of time with my sinuses, and I still, you know, two or three times a year I'm going to have an issue with my sinuses, and so I'd have an issue and I'd go to the doctor, and I wasn't real big on going to the doctor, but it was just bad. I had strep throat two times in like a 2 month span and just couldn't get rid of the stuff, and the doctor asked me a funny question, and Dr. Zavalo is my doctor. He asked me a funny question, and he said Scott, I feel like I need to ask you. He says, are you taking all of your antibiotics? I was like, well, I like a 10-day antibiotic, I'm real bad at taking medicine. Like 10-day antibiotic, I'd take like 5 days worth. And then like you, now don't look at me like that. Because every one of you got medicine in the cabinet that you were supposed to take. I start feeling a little bit better, and so I just like put the medicine up there. And then I'd get strep again. I'm like, oh, I've got to go back to the doctor. He's like, and this is what he said. He goes, to get well, you got to take all your medicine. To live for God, you got to give all your heart. So let's do that. That's the secret. It's all your heart. I love you. I hope you have a great rest of the week. I'm looking forward to Sunday. I hope you are. Between now and then, though, let's go touch a world for Christ. Let's go touch somebody's life tomorrow. Let's touch somebody's life tonight. And be an encouragement. Don't forget about the announcements, Bible study in the morning, the couples retreat. Please, 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 I'm begging you, go sign up on the list. And we really need to start getting some numbers in. I think there's just a few that signed up right now. So please go sign up, make plans to go with us, all right? Thank God for who he is and ask him to give us what we need to live for. Brother Terry Wheeler, would you dismiss us in prayer?